MexicoFoundation.org.
Hello, America, Mexico, and remote parts of Canada.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
If the noise persists, the defense will be charged with a timeout.
Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
A right by Watt! Get out! Another right by Watt! Another right! Uppercut by Watt! A right by Watt! A right by Watt! An uppercut!
Saturdays have bite.
She's banging the quarterback.
Saturdays have sass.
No trouble.
Saturdays have the sports flood.
No duh.
It ain't a show. It's an experience.
Will my cable provider have it?
Now, open your ears, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. It's about to get real.
I don't know what that means.
It's Frankie Shay.
I'm not going to be subject to your abuse anymore.
What is up? It's the Sports Flood. How are you? Glad to have you aboard, Arky Shay, right here. Let's do it. Let's talk some sports, shall we? We got an action-packed weekend ahead of us to discuss. Lots and lots and lots and lots to actually discuss, including former Alabama Crimson Tide Anthony Steen making some comments that made the rounds yesterday concerning Alabama and playing through injuries. What did he mean? Was he indicting Alabama? We'll talk about that coming up in a few minutes. Plus, it's FCS weekend for the state of Alabama. Alabama and Auburn will play not the most fun teams to go out and watch. So that means I give you a chance to play Prop Master General. That's right. I got Huntsville Havoc tickets to give away for you next week, and you can win by playing against my own personal props. I don't know who Vegas is. I don't care about Vegas. What I got for you is my own personal props. We'll play that in the next segment coming up in the show. A game last night that featured some annoyment and some sadness on my part as Piedmont and Weaver took on each other. And there's nothing usually about Piedmont and Weaver that we talk about on this show except for the fact that Piedmont and Weaver coaches decided not to shake hands. In fact, the entire Piedmont team stayed on the sideline and turned their backs to the Weaver team. The Weaver team they defeated, by the way. Thoughts on that and the destruction of sportsmanship as we continue to go on throughout this sad, sad, sad world. In the case of the 55-year-old running back, we'll try one last time to make history. We'll talk about that coming up as well. You can get in on the program. The phone number, you'll need this especially for the next segment, 866-485-9867. That's 866-485-WUMP. And more importantly, the Twitters are Arky Shay, that's me, the show, The Sports Flood, and the producer that presses the best buttons in the world, the ones that allow me to talk to you, my children, more my family members, my friends, on this Saturday morning.
Only your buttons,
Arky. And let me introduce, don't jump the gun! Antonio McBeath. What's up, Tonio?
Now that my Twitter name has changed,
can I go back to calling you your real name?
Please go back to calling me my real name.
Okay, Antonio McBeath.
Thank you.
Spelled McBeath, but no one has to find you that way anymore.
You can find me on Twitter at TonyMacUMP.
Baby, you got it. You made it simple for people, and that's all really we needed from you. Just make it easy on people. And you did. So, there are a few big games this weekend. Not a lot of them as far as high-profile matchups. Then again, that happened last weekend, and then we saw chaos reign. So, I will just point out that Tony Mac UMP has one of those high-profile matchups of his team, Oklahoma Boomer Sooners. And I'll give him a chance to break it down and discuss his Boomer Sooners. And D.D. Westbrook, and Baker Mayfield, who are playing possessed football right now, and whether or not that two-loss Oklahoma team has a shot at the playoff as we stand today. We will get to that also as well in the program. And if Lamar Jackson isn't the Heisman Trophy frontrunner still, who is? We'll take a look at who you think and who I think and who could possibly be even invited to sit next to Lamar Jackson coming up in just about 3 weeks. Because the list ain't that deep. But some interesting names that you may want to look at as we go into the final 2 weeks of the regular season. So let's start with Anthony Steen, right? That's the hottest topic du jour. And Anthony Steen, as you remember, is a former Alabama Crimson Tider. And, of course, he is a young man who was a standout at Alabama. Played really, really, really well. And now he is with the Miami Football Dolphins. He was asked after practice about injuries in general, but he was asked about his own injury past and players playing through injuries, and it was quoted by Joe Shad of the Palm Beach Post, and it was headlined, Miami Dolphins center Anthony Steen plans to buy grandma a ranch. This part has nothing to do with the ranch. This has nothing to do with buying grandma anything. This quote itself is about Alabama and something that we sort of gloss over in football, which is injuries and how many of them these young men deal with and how painful they can be and how, if you want a championship type team, if you want a team that is going to stay as healthy as possible, sometimes you just gonna have to actually play through it. It may not be a health issue. It may just be a what can you play through. So on that note, you can now listen to yourself and for yourself what Anthony Steen said after practice about the injuries that he has dealt with. Again, remember, this isn't Joe Shad trying to bring stuff up. The headline of the story is, Miami Dolphins center Anthony Steen plans to buy grandma a ranch. Roll it!
So, I mean, football, a lot of it is mentally. If you can work through pain, you can go, but at Bama, that was the problem. A lot of things you went through and you shouldn't have. You should have stayed off of. That's why a lot of guys from Bama are hurt.
Okay. Now, I'm going to read this. Hold on, Antonio. I'm going to want you to play this again. I'm going to read for you the quote verbatim, and I want you to hear it again because I don't want you to think that I or Anthony Steen are trying to misrepresent anything. The quote, football, a lot of it is mentally. If you can work through pain, you can go. But at Bama, that was the problem. A lot of things you went through and you shouldn't have. You should have stayed off of it. That's why a lot of guys from Bama are hurt, end quote. Antonio, if you don't mind, play the clip one more time so we hear Anthony Steen's own words.
So, I mean, football, a lot of it is mentally. If you can work through pain, you can go. But at Bama, that was the problem. A lot of things you went through and you shouldn't have. You should have stayed off of. That's why a lot of guys from Bama are hurt.
Now, it sounds to me as if Anthony Steen is talking about players being forced to play through things that maybe he believes they shouldn't have. Now, Anthony Steen, you may remember, had a shoulder injury that he had to have surgery on, but ended up waiting till the end of the season. Excuse me, for that. And maybe he believes that he should have went ahead and had the surgery for his own sake. That's how it sounds to me. It's unfortunately not an uncommon occurrence because football is the ultimate tough guy sport. What's the line we always hear when it comes to injuries? Are you hurt or are you injured? That's kind of where the sport goes. So I'm not going to throw it on Nick Saban for being the guy that introduced play through it at all costs in that mantra. But Anthony Steen, in a moment after practice, where he's a little tired, so maybe he's not as guarded, just lets that little line slip through. That couple of lines that said, but at Bama, that was the problem. A lot of things you went through and you shouldn't have. You should have stayed off of it. That's why a lot of guys from Bama are hurt. Now, I don't know a lot of guys from Bama that are hurt, and I don't know what he's referring to as far as referring to guys who are hurt going into the draft process, guys who are hurt going into their rookie seasons in the NFL, guys who may not be able to make it because of lingering issues. Because no one ever actually follows up on it. Because, again, the headline of this story isn't Joe Shad trying to play Gotcha Bama. Joe Shad doesn't cover college football anymore. He's a beat guy for the Miami Dolphins. The headline of the story, again, is Miami Dolphins center Anthony Steen plans to buy Grandma a ranch. So nothing in this is Gotcha Bama. So let's go ahead and get Joe Shad off the hook there. Now, Anthony Steen had people come to his defense. And Roll Tide, I knew we would. I knew we'd do it. A lot of people said, hey, for someone who was hurt, got the starting center job on an NFL team, must have worked out pretty good for you, huh, bro? Which is always the dumbest argument because you can't just say, hey, all them injuries you had to play through turned out it worked out, didn't you? As if there was no way it could have worked out without him having surgery before. And also as if that justifies anything but Alabama continuing to play for a national championship and on that run. But there were a lot of people that also attacked Anthony Steen and attacked Alabama especially. You know, anybody that's looking for a crack in the armor for Alabama to say, we coming for you. This is all we need. We need a little bit extra. We need something else. We need something else to say we don't like Bama. When really all you need is they don't ever lose games and they win by 1,000 points. He went to Instagram last night to defend himself and to defend his comments. This was not at all what I meant with the media guys grabbed me coming off the field today. They started to ask me about being hurt now and being hurt in college and Bama players getting hurt in the NFL. And what I said was that I think that had a lot of to do with it was mental toughness. Because at Bama, we play through everything because we all were mentally tough. Those of you who know me know I would never, ever talk down about Alabama, it's all caps, and I was really trying to compliment how I think Bama players are mentally tough and, of course, the media turning it into something else. I am still and always will be Roll Tide all the way. First, I'll take that last thing first. Wasn't questioning you being Roll Tide at all. Secondly, I know with the presidential election we got a lot of people who hate on the media. But I don't feel like the media turned that into anything. A few people took it and run with it that wanted to make a story out of it. Mainly not real big media people. Joe Shad tweeted out the audio in its all context. You heard the questions before, and you heard the questions after. You heard the answers before, and the answers after. But if you ask me, when I listen to that audio again, do you still have it up? If Antonio, you can play this audio again, and you tell me if this is Anthony Steen trying to say, at Bama, we played through everything because we all were mentally tough. You tell me if that's what you got from this.
Football, a lot of it is mentally. If you can work through pain, you can go. But at Bama, that was the problem. A lot of things you went through and you shouldn't have. You should have stayed off of. That's why a lot of guys from Bama are hurt.
I'm sorry, I don't hear that.
I don't hear it at all. I hear the exact opposite. He was saying, he argues the mental toughness thing that he brought up, but it doesn't sound like he's bringing it up from Alabama. Oh, I was mentally tough at Bama, so now I'm mentally tough and can play through it. it sounds like he's saying, yeah, there's a point that you have to be mentally tough, but it almost sounds like he's saying Bama pushed that limit. What he said on Instagram and what he just said in that quote completely conflict each other.
He uses the line, a lot of you went through and you shouldn't have. You should have stayed off of it. That doesn't convey to me everybody at Alabama is mentally tough. To me, it sounds like Anthony Steen is saying they pushed us past maybe where we should have been pushed past. Now, you can reap the rewards of being an NFL draft pick, just playing in the NFL, grabbing a check there, being drafted, making money, starting, winning national championships and conference championships and beating everybody by 100. But this BS Instagram post to just try to backtrack off of what I just listened to for the third time just since the show started does not sound like the same words he's trying to tell me he said.
Not at all.
Because here's what happens. People remember the last things you say more than you remember the first thing. So that's why I always tell you, be brief when you're trying to make comments like this. And at the end, make a good point. Or make the point you want to make. Because at the end, what he says is, those of you know me know I would never talk down about Alabama, and I was really trying to compliment how I think Bama players are mentally tough, and of course the media turned it into something else. I am still and always will be Roll Tide all the way. That's what you're going to remember the most. Him saying, I'm Roll Tide, I'm never going to say anything bad about Alabama. But he kind of did. He kind of did. He didn't impugn the integrity of the staff. He just sort of questioned it.
Read the part on Instagram one more time where he says the part about talking about Alabama is mentally tough, but the media is going to do what?
The media turned it into something else.
Where? Where did the media turn it into anything else? The only quote that we're talking about Bama being questioned for playing players that are injured, came straight from your mouth. And it wasn't, nobody prompted that to come out of your mouth, but you. You were asked about being injured, and you immediately brought up that you played through injuries at Bama, and that Bama pretty much pushed the limit on that. Nobody else brought that. You were the first one to bring that up.
He used the word problem when describing Alabama. He said, but at Bama, that was the problem.
Now, we don't necessarily know if he's just talking about being forced to play through an injury, or if the expectations at Bama are so high because you've got, you know, recruits sitting on the bench that could take your spot, so you just feel inclined to play through an injury or whatever. We don't know that for sure. He's not coming out directly and saying, hey, they made me play through this. But he could be talking about just the expectation around being a Bama player might make you push yourself through stuff you probably shouldn't. But all of this that we're twisting and trying to figure out what he's meaning didn't come from the media. It came straight from his mouth.
And I don't think we're trying to twist anything. I think the only thing we're twisting is him in the wind when he goes on his Instagram post, because he probably felt bad about saying what he said. And he probably got a little bit of blowback, probably got a few text messages, some tweets at him. And that's okay. That's okay. Alabama can push people to the brink and even beyond what they think they can do. I have no evidence to say that Alabama pushes anybody further than what they should be able to go past. You know, there's a lot of people who criticize Alabama for their players basically being groaned out, so to speak. They've hit their peak in college, you know, and there are examples of that. There are also examples of Alabama players still doing well. For crying out loud, Landon Collins and Drake Patrick were playing good over the weekend. It was Monday night, wasn't it? So There are opportunities to say, hey, what's up, Alabama? Why does everybody seem to be peaking when they play with you? And there's also opportunities to say, you guys are producing a lot of NFL players. Maybe you're doing something right there. You can angle it however you want on that argument, but for Anthony Steen to come out and say, that's the media spinning it. I got your words, my friend. Because if the media was really spinning it, do you think the headline of the story would be Miami Dolphins center Anthony Steen plans to buy Grandma a ranch? Don't you think they would go with the, and Joe Shadda, former college football writer, would go with Former Alabama center Anthony Steen calls out Alabama's practicing techniques or coaching standards or medical practices. Sorry, man, you got caught in your own words. It's not the end of the world. It all happens. Maybe you didn't mean to say it. I just said it, bro. Own it. That's all I care about.
I'd much rather him come out and say, you know, like you mentioned, it was after practice. He might have been a little unguarded at the time. Come out and say something like that. But to go after the media
I'm
when we...
I'm sleepy, guys. Let me ask you questions. I just ran through 2 hours of practice. Can we stop?
I think he just tried to take the easy way out that everybody else does and went after the media. And usually other people have grounds to go after the media, but I really just don't think he did here.
Sure, and I, you know, I consider myself part of the media.
Media is not perfect by any means.
No, I'm perfect. I just think that when you just throw the media out there, you know, there are people inside the media you can trust and should trust. And I'm not reporting news here, so you don't have to trust me as far as news. I'm just giving you opinions. So you can either like them or you can don't like them. I just hope you keep listening.
I don't like any of them.
Well, I appreciate that, Antonio. follow him on Twitter at TonyMacUMP, by the way. That's M-A-C, not M-A-C-K. M-A-C, Tony Mac. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll play Prop Master General. You can call in and get your chance to win a pair of Havoc tickets for next week's games. I got a couple games coming up next week. And I'll give you 3 prop bets from Alabama or 3 prop bets from Auburn. Your choice. And all you got to do is tell me, or all you got to do is tie me or even beat me, and you win a pair of tickets. That's it. 3 bets, 3 ones I made up. That's it. You pick the Alabama game you want to do the bets with or the Auburn game, and we'll play that coming up next. All you got to do is tie, and if you beat me, that's good too. But we're going to play Prop Master General when we come back for a pair of Havoc tickets. And I got a bunch of pairs to give away. So if you guys want to play throughout the show, we can play that. We can play that game. Take a quick timeout. Sports Flood. Welcome back in. It is the Sports Flood Saturday edition. About to play Prop Master General. To get in, 866-485-9867. I give you 3 prop bets. All I got to do is tie or beat me. And that is, in fact, you know what? It's easy. If you get 2 out of 3 or none out of 3, just come on and play. Let's have a good time on this Saturday. For example, here's one of the prop bets. Times Nick Saban looks into the camera at halftime, 2.5. That's all. These are silly, fun little prop bets. To get in, 866-485-9867. You can win tickets to see the Huntsville Havoc next week. Let's go to the phone lines now, and let's welcome in B-Mac. What's up, B-Mac? Sounding good, B-Mac.
Hello. Oh, hey, guys.
What's up, sorry. B-Mac?
Nothing much. Just driving down the road listening to the show. Hey, real quick. I don't know the genesis of what y'all were starting to talk about folks, you know, kind of complaining about Bama, but have you just ever thought that people are just, unfortunately, for us Bama fans, getting sick and tired of Alabama?
Well, yeah, well, I mean, it's easy to dislike people who, or dislike teams especially, who win all the games all the time. So far, so good. Thanks, B-Mac. We can go ahead and hang up on B-Mac. I'm not sure what happened there. The genesis of Alabama and the hate for Alabama is them being good.
Yeah, oh,
all
sure.
All the time, every time. So that's another thing we can just deal with. Poor Alabama, right? I think Alabama fans will be okay with being hated as long as it's the reason they're being hated, because they win all the games. All the time, always, and by large margins.
And from that, it stems people want to talk about, well, no, I dislike him because of this and the attitude of this guy. And it all stems from the same thing. It started because Alabama's getting a lot of attention because they're winning, and you hate it. I'm not afraid to admit it. Alabama gets on my last nerve because I'm so tired of seeing them win.
They win all the time, and it's okay. That's what you're actually hoping for as a team, so...
Exactly.
Boom.
And for me, I was actually explaining it to someone yesterday. I'm a fan of of Oklahoma, and they're a very historic program, and they're a very competitive program. They win usually about 10 games a year, knock on wood. But when you're a team that competes like Oklahoma does and comes so close every year to a playoff or a championship and then falls short, and you will look at a team like Alabama who's winning the championship and just blowing teams out of the water, whether they're FCS or ranked in the top five, it's really hard to watch, and it really starts to get annoying.
Unless you're an Alabama fan.
Of course.
And then it's beautiful to watch.
Could you imagine? I'm tired of us winning. Yeah, I don't really care for Alabama anymore. Winning got old.
No, I don't think, and that's why a lot of people criticize fans of Alabama, because a lot of them, except for maybe in the last couple of years, have become fans of teams like Duke and Kentucky basketball. You're like, guys, isn't it supposed to be Alabama everything? But some people compartmentalize that and say, I'm a fan of Alabama football. I'm a fan of Kentucky basketball. I'm a fan of whoever is good at tennis.
New York Yankee baseball fan?
I'm a Yankees fan.
I know you are.
I'm a Knicks fan. I haven't done a lot of winning.
I'm all over the place. I'm a Sooner fan in all collegiate sports.
It's where my sweet spot was when I was growing up. Like, I remember one of the first games I watched was the Dallas Cowboys game, and it just sort of attracted me. In fact, one of the first games was what year was it? I think it was the most recent Cowboys Steelers Super Bowl. So that was 96, somewhere around there. I was like 9, 10, 11, somewhere around there. One of the first games I actually vividly remember watching was Cowboys-Steelers at somewhere around there.
I can understand your Cowboys love. I grew up in Nashville. I grew up a Titans fan, but my stepdad, who got me into Oklahoma football so young, he grew up in Seminole, Oklahoma, but as he became a young adult, he moved to Dallas, and he grew up a Dallas Cowboy fan, so he brought that to me as well. Although I had a lot more love for the Titans, I still am very fond of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and you should be, because they're the best. 96, January 28, 96. And where my Cowboys won, I do remember that. I do definitely remember that, just being like, yeah. Although I had no real interest at the time. No real stake in the game. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to be hated if you're a team that's liked a lot. What you shouldn't be hated about is playing Prop Master General. Come on, people. Get on the phones. I got Havoc tickets to give away. Here's an example of the prop bet from the Auburn-Alabama A&M game. Auburn, 23.5 points at halftime. Over or under. Boom. Give me that. Jeremy Johnson, 1.5 interceptions thrown because he's the starting quarterback. Give me some of that action. 866-485-9867. 866-485-WUMP. So there's a lot more action happening than you would think, and this is where we get to the heart of the issue. This is where we get to sportsmanship for me. And sportsmanship happened last night, or at least I thought it could happen last night, in the Piedmont Weaver game. Now, we don't get a lot of high school football talk. I get a little bit more of it on this show than probably a lot most others do. But Piedmont beat Weaver last night 52-28. That's not important. What's important is that after the game, the losing coach, Daryl Hamby, who is the head coach at Weaver, went to midfield to shake the hands of Steve Smith. Not Steve Smith of WZYP, our sister station, which you can hear in the afternoons.
Great guy, by the way.
Yeah, he's a solid guy. Solid guy. Steve Smith, our Steve Smith, would not do this. He refused, did Steve Smith, to go to the middle of the field and shake the hand of Mr. Hamby, Coach Hamby, I like to call him. Again, after a big playoff win, decided not to do it. Also decided not to do it was the entire team. The entire Piedmont team stayed on their side of the field. I'm going to retweet this onto my timeline so you can see what I'm discussing and what I'm actually talking about. Because there's actually a video of this last night. Not only did the team stay on the sidelines, most of them turned their back to the field. stood in the line, not to shake hands, but on their own sideline, and turned their back to the Weaver team. They had just defeated, by the way. This is disgraceful. It is putrid. It is an abomination to what we're trying to teach our kids.
Do we know why? Do we know anything other than... I mean, it doesn't matter why. I'm just interested in why.
I did some research last night and followed through the timeline of why some of this were to happen. And the closest thing I could find was that there was some issue with a hype video. A hype video from Weaver who lost. Hype videos happen a lot. Could not get a definitive word on why this was done. There was nothing in the local newspapers that I could find about this that would indicate anything that would be remotely worthy of telling your team not to go to midfield and not to shake the hands. You know, the AHSAA, the Alabama High School Athletic Association, constantly tells their member institutions, their schools, their teams, their broadcasters. You heard it when I did the Bob Jones game. They had the PSAs. Sportsmanship, sportsmanship, sportsmanship. That is the number one thing you have to pay attention to at this level, is sportsmanship. That's the number one thing. And if you have issues, look, we've had brawls we've talked about on the show before. We've had kids that have been upset, throw punches, unsportsmanlike conducts that happen unnecessarily because somebody gets a little chippy. But for Steve Smith, not our Steve Smith, to tell his entire Piedmont team in victory to not go shake the hands and not show good sportsmanship after beating Weaver. You know, it was the first Calhoun County playoff matchup since 1989. I know a lot of you guys didn't know that because it's not something that's just randomly in your head. It's much worse than brawling on the field. Because brawling on the field, there's at least an extenuating circumstance. Maybe somebody gets chippy and usually does on the field with some extracurricular activity, and then you start fighting. This is worse. Players are 15, 16, 17 years old, brawling and fighting and swinging punches. This is guys in their 40s and 50s and older telling their kids, we're not shaking their hands. And this comes off the heels of, I don't know if you got a chance to see this, but the head coach of Jackson State last week did not shake the hand of James Spady at Alabama A&M after losing to Alabama A&M. And he was interviewed afterwards about it, and he said, oh, I have no problem with Coach Spady. He's a great guy. He did it because other coaches, he thought, would do similar things. He brought up Bill Belichick. He brought up Nick Saban. Those guys shake hands. Especially after you win. What do you have to be mad about that you can't just look over at the scoreboard and say, at worst case scenario, kind of a douchey thing to do, but say, scoreboard. You won the game. You can't teach your kids things like this. And Piedmont's going to be moved on. I'd remove them from the playoffs. I really would. And it's unfair to the kids themselves, but that coach told those players not to do it because those players wouldn't be turned around with their back to the field after the game if it wasn't that way. And I don't care what hype video, I don't care if the score was run up on in the past, I don't care what happens, you have to shake hands. If these are 35 and 40-year-olds who are near the end of their career or just barely making it in the NFL or even... hell, guys who are in their mid-20s. In the NFL, I don't really care if they shake their hands. I mean, it's good sportsmanship, but by that point, you know whether or not you're going to be a good sport or not. And not everybody shakes hands. I get it. You're trying to teach these kids something. They're still moldable at 15 and 16 and 17 years old. you can still put things in perspective. This is a complete lack of perspective. This is filthy. This is gross. And I'd remove Piedmont from the playoffs immediately. It's not like you can't do it. I mean, they made Elba play on Friday, but they had just played Monday because the AHSAA and them had to go to court to see whether or not they used an ineligible player. Courts were closed on Veterans Day Friday, so they couldn't adjudicate Friday. So they had to wait till Monday. They adjudicated Monday. They played Monday. Elba won Monday and then had to play Friday and then lost a close game. Do you think it's fair? You think the AHSAA can't do something? They completely can do something.
Teens.gov. And thanks for not providing alcohol to teens. A message from the We Don't Serve Teens program and the Federal Trade Commission.
730 and 1039, The Ump. More sports.
Live in the sports club. Let's go straight to the phone lines. We'll talk to Christian, who is on the line now. Right, Christian? Christian, what's up, man?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing good, man. What's going on?
Nothing much. Just about to go do some hiking.
Going on a hike, really?
Yeah, I'm about to do a hike. I'm on Xeno, yep.
Oh, man. It's a crisp night out there. You know, I used to, Mrs. Arkis and I was in a former relationship I had. We used to hike all the time. Hikes are awesome, man.
It is. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep.
Perfect day.
You want to play Prop Master General?
Let's do it.
All right. All you got to do is tie or beat me, which gets you the pair of tickets to see the Havoc in action next week. So you want to choose the Alabama or the Auburn prop bets?
Let me do Auburn.
All right. For Auburn, 23.5 points at the half, over or under?
Over.
Over the 23.5. 0.5 interceptions for Jeremy Johnson today. Over or under?
Over.
Oh, isn't that a sad state of affairs? And
I think they're going to be angry.
And our man Jordan Bentley, who's out of Gunnersville, playing well as a freshman for Alabama A&M. He's averaging 84.8 yards per game. Does he get to 85 yards? 85 yards over or under for Jordan Bentley for Alabama A&M?
We talking about rushing?
Rushing yards, yes, sir.
Let's go under on that.
Under 85 rushing yards. He's basically their main threat. So, you know, if you can keep him under that, it'd be pretty good. Christian, thanks for the call, man. Enjoy the hike.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
He is Christian. Thank you, sir. That's how you play. We'll do that for the rest of the show. Prop Master General. I have prop bets for Alabama's game as well. So since they are both playing FCS teams, and neither one of us is really expecting Alabama or Auburn to lose, although if you're going to pick a team that could lose, it'd probably be Auburn. We're going to do some prop bets. If you tie me or if you beat me, then you will get a pair of tickets to see the Huntsville Havoc next week. They had two games, by the way, next week at home, so you can win those tickets too. They'll be on Thanksgiving night, which, by the way, they've done this before. Look, I'm not a Black Friday guy. I don't need to go to some of these outlet stores that early in the evening. So I wouldn't mind seeing. In fact, I think I'm going to be at that game against Knoxville and then Pensacola on Friday for a series on Black Friday. So, yeah, Thursday and Friday have a chance to win the tickets, too. And if you win, well, we'll text you from the studio line, tell you that you win, let you pick the day. Boom, done and done. Prop Master General, pretty simple way to go about this. So I wanted to mention one quick story before we went off to our last break of the hour. Because next hour, I want to figure out who is going to be with Lamar Jackson at the Heisman Trophy ceremony, if anybody really should be there. Because there was a lot of clamoring that Lamar Jackson lost his Heisman favorite after he played on Thursday night. See, there's not a lot of players that you could put right up there with him to say give them the trophy, but we will we will do. We will discuss that coming up in the next hour. I wanted to mention this one other story real quick because we're not going to get a chance to get to it much in the rest of the show. And that is the case of the 55-year-old trying to make history in college football. His name's Joe Thomas Sr., and he's 55 years old, going to college at South Carolina State, and trying to make his dream come true to make college football history. Now, the story is done by Campus Rush, which is a division of Sports Illustrated. And it's an interesting story, but if you go into it, you'll see that they're trying to get this old man a chance to carry the ball at any possible game. And they just can't get him to get the ball one carry. In fact, I think I figured out the reason. Because they don't want to be responsible for the man's murder. We'll take a timeout, wrap up the first hour next. Play Prop Master General for a chance to win tickets to see the Huntsville Havoc play next week. Before we head out of here, I want to give congratulations to Jake Tucker out of UNA, the North Alabama Alliance, are your Gulf South Conference champions. And Jake Tucker is your GSC Offensive Player of the Year. So congratulations goes out to a young man who was used in the Hover Helmet Challenge a few times to try to win. And I'll tell you this, I appreciate being able to see greatness happen at this local level. In fact, I was at a UNA game, I think I haven't gone this year, although it's going to be playoffs this year if we're going to get to go. But I now really need to see go see Jake Tucker play. Offensive Player of the Year. Been monitoring him, putting a whole bunch of stats up. He's a good dual threat quarterback. We'll see what kind of numbers, what kind of run UNA can make in the playoffs this year. When we come back, who belongs in the college football playoff and who belongs with Lamar Jackson in the Heisman race? Coming up next.
Hello, America, Mexico, and remote parts of Canada.
Omaha!
Saturdays have bite.
She's banging the quarterback.
Saturdays have sass.
No trouble.
Saturdays have the sports flood.
No duh.
It ain't a show. It's an experience.
Will my cable provider have it?
Now, open your ears, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. It's about to get real.
I don't know what that means.
It's Frankie Shea.
I'm not going to be subject to your abuse anymore.
To the sports flood, 10 o'clock hour coming up here on the Ump. Glad to have you guys aboard. Prop Master General playing for the rest of the hour. If you'd like to call in, 866-485-9867. I keep saying if you beat me or you tie me, all you got to do really is just get one right. Just get one of these right. Just get one right. That's all you got to do. Get one right. For the Alabama or for the Auburn game, your choice. Just beautiful, fun prop bets. That's all. Unique, interesting ones. Things to pay attention to that are a little more noteworthy than margin of victory and the spread. So you could call in 866-485-9867 to be able to participate in that. We've had a good conversation so far today talking about Anthony Steen and his perceived slights against some aspects of what Alabama football is doing with its injured players, and then his immediate apology on Instagram afterwards. we still need to talk about who actually deserves to be in the Heisman race besides Lamar Jackson. But first, we'll let you know that Alabama football is coming up today. In fact, tonight, right here on the Ump. Coverage starts at 3 o'clock as that game is 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock for Alabama Chattanooga. It's ridiculous. Auburn in Alabama A&M is 6:30. I know night games are fun and all, but good grief. Aren't these the kind of games that you want just to get over with? Like, you're really just ready for the Iron Bowl, because this game is just basically filler for Auburn, filler for Alabama, filler for TV, filler until we get to the Iron Bowl next week. But, man, late games, geez Louise. But we will have all the coverage for you of that game and on the Iron Bowl as well. Coverage next week of the Iron Bowl will start at 11:30. More on that throughout the week as well. Let's go to the lines now and welcome in the Big Orange Brian. Am I right there? Brian, what's up, man?
Hey, all kinds of fun. Good day for football.
It's a great day
and,
for football. How good does it feel outside,
to,
man?
I wanted to make two comments real quick about the one team turning their backs on the other one.
Go ahead.
The two head coaches, they weren't once married, and they went through a bad divorce, did they?
I don't know. It kind of feels like it.
Well, I'm thinking if I was a parent of one of those young men that were out there in those fields and everything, until that coach apologized to the other team, I'm be sorry for my kid, but I'd be pulling my boy off the squad.
Yeah, it's just a filthy display. Now, in fact, I've amended what I said about taking Piedmont out of the playoffs. I would definitely remove the coach and the coaching staff from Piedmont to the playoffs, at least until I get some kind of apology, because that is, you know, I mean, we're not talking about professional kids here. We're talking about guys who are very impressionable. We're trying to teach them the right way to do things. And, you know, we're just fresh off the heels of Tony Romo giving a great speech, trying to win one for the team and be good for what the team is. And now I got to see high school coaches being petty for whatever the reason is, to not even have their coaches or their player, even allow their players to go to midfield to shake the hands. I mean, if you look at the video that I posted, they don't even get past the white sideline, wide border. It is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I'd say we've got enough whiners and snowflakes without it getting onto the gridiron, too. Get out there, suck it up, and shake hands with them, even if you didn't like a little video or something.
And they won, Brian, they won the game.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, what's there to be mad about?
It's incomprehensible.
Yeah. I'm with you, Brian. What's your other comment?
Over-under game? That was my comment.
Oh, okay, got you. Okay, so you want to do the Alabama or Auburn props?
Let's go with Auburn.
Okay, so Auburn, 23.5 points before or at halftime. Over-under?
Under.
Jeremy Johnson, 0.5 interceptions in the game. Over-under?
Over.
It's so funny, man. It's so funny to me. And Jordan Bentley, local product out of Gunnersville, averages 84.8 yards per game. So rushing, 84.5 yards rushing today. Over or under?
Under.
Under is your... Brian, if you'll hang tight on the line, Tony needs to get your phone number so I can text you from the studio line after the game. And hopefully you win some tickets to see the Havoc next week.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate that. Big Orange Brian. That's how you do it. 866-485-9867. 866-485-WUMP. That's how you get in on the program. And that's how you can play Prop Master General. So the next question that is obvious, because this week is a little light on some of the big games. And again, don't forget, I'm going to give Antonio, who's a big Boomer Sooner guy, a chance to break down his team's chances of beating West Virginia and getting into the college football playoffs. So that's still to come. Is the Heisman Trophy? Because that's what we need to consider this week. For a couple of reasons. One, obviously because of what Lamar Jackson did/did not do. On Thursday night. Now, if you missed Thursday night, actually, I don't think any of you did. Lamar Jackson, and maybe more importantly, his offensive line didn't do anything worth a darn in that game. And Lamar Jackson and Louisville, as our good friend Bobby Petrino put it, they blew it. And they did. They blew it very, 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 very hard.
You mentioned the offensive line. My favorite play of the entire night was the false start. Well, there was a lot of false starts on Louisville, but the false start where the offensive lineman literally just fell down backwards.
That's kind of how the night was.
Yeah.
The night was a disaster from the very beginning. It didn't get any better. What was it, 31-0 at the half?
Yeah.
It was an abomination of a football game. And their head coach, Bobby Petrino, quite candidly said they blew it. And that's true. Lamar Jackson, if you just want to look at his stats from that game, because this is the game everyone is saying that Lamar Jackson himself blew it for the Heisman Trophy. Lamar Jackson was 20 of 43 for 211 yards and a touchdown. 25 carries, 33 yards. It also doesn't help that he was sacked. This is going to hurt to hear. 12 times.
Yeah,
11 times.
It was really apparent watching that football game that he was trying to do everything, and he's all Louisville has when it comes into situations like that. He's on a different level as far as the rest of his team, and he literally had no help. He was sacked 12 times. He had to run the ball 25 times for 33 yards.
He's more of a 15-17 run kind of guy. So let me ask you this. For those who are saying Lamar Jackson is no longer the Heisman Trophy favorite, which, if you look at his passing numbers, not overwhelming, but not disastrous. He didn't go one touchdown, six picks. Rushing yards, 33 yards isn't going to help you a lot when you're averaging 1.3 a carry, and your long actually was 20 yards. So then I ask you, who else is in the running? Because this could be a week to figure out who else could show up to New York. Now, I ask this because during this game, my social media is full of a lot of Alabama and Auburn fans, and there were some Alabama fans wanting to clamor and make a case for Jalen Hurts if he stayed in this game long enough against Chattanooga to put up some yards. Before I get to Jalen Hurts, let me just consider who else we can consider to be Heisman Trophy favorites. Let's start with the quarterback position, because this seems to be a sexy pick for everybody, because they get to touch the ball all the time. Who would you think is the nation's leader in passing yards right now?
Passing yards would be Patrick Mahomes.
You're 100% correct. He's the only one over 4,000 yards on the season. 34 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
But don't they have a losing record?
Well, here's the thing. Do you even consider a quarterback, no matter what his numbers are, if his team's 4-6?
No, absolutely not.
All right, then that would, in your mind, take him out of the running. Then you look at who's second on that list, and we'll only put a couple of people who are probably worth, based just on passing yards, is Logan Woodside out of Toledo. 3,600 yards, he's the only one that has 40 touchdowns thrown and 7 interceptions. 40! Now, his team's 9-2. Logan Woodside, is he worthy of consideration to send to the Heisman Trophy ceremony? Highest quarterback rating in the country at 185.6.
I would say so. I mean, at least consideration. I'm not saying put him at the front of the list. Sure, why not? We've seen guys, you know, not from a Power 5 school win the Heisman before. I mean, it hasn't been recent, but why not?
Because his games are against Arkansas State, Maine, Fresno State, BYU, Eastern Michigan, Bowling Green, Central Michigan, Ohio, Akron, Northern Illinois, Ball State. Not a lot to value.
You're exactly right. But it's not the Heisman race it was last year. I mean, Fournette didn't go to the ceremony last year, but he had 1,900 yards. You had Baker Mayfield, who had a great season. Deshaun Watson was there with his amazing season. You had Derrick Henry, who won the Heisman with his incredible year. And you even had Christian McCaffrey. You don't have anywhere near that kind of seasons from anybody this year.
Let me give you a couple other quarterbacks to consider. Just shortly below at number 3 in the passing yards is Luke Falk out of Washington State. Luke Falk right now, his games at least are against power teams for the most part. But he does have losses to Eastern Washington on his resume. Again, he did go for 418 and four touchdowns on one pick, so it wasn't a bad game for him against Eastern Washington. But he does have wins against Oregon. Again, consider the source. Stanford, who is now in the top 25. UCLA. And Cal. So he has 3,600 yards passing.
He also leads the league, if I'm not mistaken, in completion percentage. And it's very high. I think it's like 75%.
Luke Falk's completion percentage is 74%.
Okay, close enough.
Davis Webb out of Cal. Consider him. He has 3,601 yards, 33 touchdowns to 12 interceptions. By the way, Luke Falk is 33 touchdowns to 6 picks.
Well, what I'd say about Luke Falk is he has a chance to help himself with those early losses to Boise State and Eastern Washington or whoever it was. Was it East Washington? Is that who it was? The FCS
Eastern
school.
Eastern Washington.
He has a chance to help himself because they play Colorado today, who is ranked in the top 10, I believe, or top 12. They're close. They're a highly ranked team. And then they play Washington next week. And if they take care of business, they have a chance to play in the Pac-12 championship. He's got a chance to do what everybody talks about now is, what have you done for me lately? He has a chance against good competition to show up. And if he does this week and next week against Washington, I think he'll be there.
If he does what he's doing against Colorado tonight, and he does so against Washington, and then for the Pac-12, absolutely, he comes out of nowhere. And would come out of nowhere. Finally, I'll give you this one. Baker Mayfield. And I say because of what he has on his schedule left too, high-profile games. If you want to get a guy to show up for high-profile games and do something good, maybe now is the time when the light's the brightest. 3,200 yards, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, completion percentage, 72%. And 2 high-profile games could win himself the Big 12 in the next 2 weeks.
Last year, he had stats very similar to this, and he had the same high-profile games, 3 straight-ranked games to win the Big 12, and he finished 4th in the Heisman ranking, in Heisman voting. But like I mentioned a second ago, you don't have near the competition the Heisman finalist had last year.
We only had 36 touchdowns last year.
Exactly. He's about to surpass all of that. He's about to surpass all of his stats from last year. His completion percentage is 72 now, I believe.
68 last year, 64 the year before. It's getting better.
So with these high-profile games and the fact that this year they play their last high-profile game on conference championship weekend. Last year they took care of business. Last week of the regular season won the Big 12, and it was over with. He has a chance to wow people just like Jalen Hurts does on conference championship weekend, where Lamar Jackson will be sitting at home.
Let me throw this out there for you, and I want to throw in a couple other positions out there. Actually, you know what? I'll get to Lamar Jackson in just a minute. How about running backs? Who would you expect to be up there as running backs?
The only one I could think of would be Donnell Pumphrey.
Well, he's number one as far as yards, 1,780 yards, 14 touchdowns. Jeremy McNichols has nearly 1,600 yards, another great night last night, over 200, has 22 touchdowns.
Wow.
22 touchdowns. That's 8 more than Donnell Pumphrey. That's just some basic math for you. And 3 more than anybody else, which happens to be Lamar Jackson rushing. How about receiving? Are we ever going to get another receiver to win the Heisman Trophy? How about this? Carlos Henderson has the most touchdowns with 16. John Ross at Washington, 15. Carlos Henderson at Louisiana Tech. Corey Davis and DeeDee Westbrook tied at 14. That's going into this weekend. Yards. Most amount of yards is Zay Jones at East Carolina. Is he winning the trophy? He's only got 6 touchdowns. Probably not winning the trophy. Trent Taylor out of Louisiana Tech. 1,350 yards. 10 touchdowns. Tywan Taylor, Western Kentucky. 13 touchdowns. 1,340 yards. Doesn't seem like that there's anybody on this list outside of maybe DeeDee Westbrook and May for Oklahoma, he's a receiver, and maybe John Ross, who would even be in consideration.
What I think helps DeeDee Westbrook, and it reminds me a lot of the late push that Desmond Howard from Michigan made for the Heisman, is that One, he's been very explosive since they started Big 12 play, and coincidentally, that's when he became 100% healthy. He was only about 60% to start the first three games. But also, he's not just the receiver. He returns punts. And him and Mixon also return on the kickoffs, depending on how deep the kick is. But Westbrook is a very good punt returner. He's had at least one or two for a touchdown this season. I know he had one called back off of a hold. So if he not only keeps putting up these numbers in the passing game as far as receiving yards and touchdowns and continues to be that explosive, I think with a timely punt return for a touchdown against either West Virginia or Oklahoma State, that could vault him into a finalist. It really could.
So now those are your top contenders, especially going into the next 2 weeks, which will be big for Oklahoma to be able to put some noise on the board. And I do mean noise, legit noise. Luke Falk put some noise on the board. But let's go back and look at Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is number 9 in the country in passing yards. 3109. Now Deshaun Watson is probably going to pass him today. And so will probably a couple more, including Cooper Rush out of Central Michigan, Brett Ripon. Oh, no, he was done for after last night. Mitch Trubisky, probably going to pass him. So we'll end up being top 20 by the end of the night in passing yards. Lamar Jackson, 28 touchdowns, 6 interceptions passing. But he's been sacked 35 times. A lot was help on Thursday. But when you look for who's going to replace him as far as the number one guy, look no further than actually Lamar Jackson, who still has 1,367 rushing yards, which is 6th right now in the country, and 19 rushing touchdowns.
See,
so you tell me, who of the name list of people I gave you is going to still upend Louisville's Lamar Jackson for the Heisman Trophy, even when he has a subpar game? A subpar game.
Well, the only two that come to mind, as I mentioned before, and I think it's mainly because they've got a very good-looking schedule ahead of them, would be Mayfield and Luke Falk. Based on what they can do, and if Washington State buys themselves that extra game, he gets the last shot at an eye test on conference championship weekend.
I'll tell you this. Mike Leach has been burned as far as having system quarterbacks before, putting up a whole bunch of yards and not getting the love for the Heisman Trophy.
I understand the yards and everything, but the eye-popping stat for Falk for me is 74% completion percentage.
Yeah, but that's not going to get him in the race. The race is going to be the number of yards. Now, will that get him an invitation to New York? If he plays well the next 3 weeks, granted he would have to win the next 2 weeks and then play for a conference championship. Because Lamar Jackson still got Kentucky to put up some numbers against. And Kentucky gave up 1 million yards to Josh Dobbs.
You know, the eye-popping stats that everybody loves to talk about because it scores you points or touchdowns. And Lamar Jackson, I think, has 47 total now, and which is very awesome. It's a Louisville record. But for me, it was never the touchdowns. It's the fact that he can potentially be the first quarterback. It's going to take a lot of work now against Kentucky, but he has the chance to get really close to having 3,500 passing yards and 1,500 rushing yards. It's everything he's done for the program that's impressive to me. Because if you go back and look at other great Heisman runs, the touchdowns were way better than Lamar Jackson's. But Lamar Jackson just does so much to set up Louisville more than just score. He has 47 total touchdowns now. I think Tebow had 55. Bradford had 55. I think, Colt Brennan? He's got the record at 63, and he didn't win a Heisman. So, I mean, it's more than just the touchdowns for what Lamar Jackson does.
Now, if you want to try to give some love to Jalen Hurts, I know you want to give some love to a guy who is maybe the best player offensively, at least the catalyst for how that offense works, on the best team. Let's put you into perspective, because I don't want to leave you out. Jalen Hurts has 2,032 passing yards. if you were to rank him, which you can right now, 2032 makes him 65th in the country. He has 16 touchdowns. That makes him, tied for 45th in the country. Rushing yards. That's something to pay attention to, right? Where is Jalen Hurts when it comes to rushing yards? Jalen Hurts has had a fine season rushing the ball. 735 rushing yards. Would you like to take a guess at where 735 rushing yards puts you on the season? Don't worry, I'll tell you, 74th in the country.
Whew.
Now, he's the freshman offensive player of the year in the SEC. The freshman that has come on and really turned this team into something that is a little more dynamic than I think a lot of people were expecting. But even if he stays in this game completely, and let's say he goes from 735, let's say he runs for 250 yards, assuming no one else runs the ball at all today that's ahead of him, that would still only get him into the top 30 of rushing yards. The hill is too far to climb, and part of it's Nick Saban, and part of it is that offense is so varied. But Nick Saban keeps quarterbacks and starters in as little as possible. Now, just think what his numbers would be if he didn't stay in as long as he did and didn't focus so much on passing the ball like he did last week against Mississippi State. They'd be worse. So Jalen Hurts has no shot at the Heisman this season.
The thing
has no legitimate shot if you look just based on the numbers at even going to New York. His best shot is that he would be the starting quarterback of the number one team in the country, and it's not even close.
Absolutely, I absolutely agree with you. The thing that I think makes Jalen Hurts look way more appealing for the Heisman is, like you mentioned, he plays for the number one team in the country. They do a lot of things so well, but if you were to take him off that team and put him at Louisville, is Louisville sitting where they are? Are they, 9-2 right now? Does he have these stats or his stats better? I don't think so. I think his team, he's a true freshman, and what he's done as a true freshman has been fantastic. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to make him look bad. I'm not saying he would be awful somewhere else. I just don't think he's as far along as a true freshman anywhere else than he is right here at Alabama. Yeah.
So your Heisman finalist, if it was based just on the numbers, will not include Jalen Hurts. If you want to throw somebody out there that happens to be the face of the number one team to bring a few extra eyeballs, because you know who watches college football the most? Birmingham, Alabama. They watch it for everybody. You don't think they would watch the Heisman Trophy ceremony a little more if there was an Alabama boy who might have a shot at it? That's the only shot he's got, is being the number one, to even being invited. Lamar Jackson would have to have one of the worst games humanly possible to lose his Heisman Trophy stranglehold. And it's mainly because he's padded the lead. I mean, you may not like the way the numbers have looked. You may not have liked how the numbers have looked against Wake Forest, and that may be because of the first three quarter scores. But if you look at the stats from every single one of the games, he's got real good numbers. Real good numbers.
What's most impressive to me was what he did against Clemson. It was a bonehead mistake from a receiver that cost him the game, not knowing where they were on the field. He played a fantastic game. Deshaun Watson paled in comparison to Lamar Jackson in that football game. Deshaun Watson did struggle the first half, had a good second half, but it was a Lamar Jackson show in that football game. And that's top-notch competition. That's a team who, if they went out, they're in the playoff, and they should have. If it was Lamar Jackson's way, they would have won that football game.
One other note, just want to, before we wrap up the Heisman talk, for those who are clamoring for Jonathan Allen, he's got 7 sacks. And if you want to look for numbers that get people excited for defensive players, you're going to try it. 7 sacks for Jonathan Allen. It's tied for 34th. Tim Williams has more sacks than he does. Carl Lawson has more sacks.
Realistically,
Hunter Dimmick out of Utah has the most sacks with Jalen Ferguson at Louisiana Tech at 12. So he's got 2 Heisman moments. Actually, probably got 3 with 2 fumble returns for the touchdown and the Superman leap.
Realistically, before we get out of the Heisman talk, how many finalists do you think they're going to take this year, and who do you think they're going to be?
I don't know who they're going to be, but I'll tell you this, it should always be 5.
Think so?
No matter what. I don't care what the voting shows up, you should invite 5 people. Inviting 3 people takes away from the drama and is stupid. How much are the plane tickets to New York? Really? Really? Not cheap for you and me, but for the University of Alabama, for the Heisman Trust, they can afford it. Always should be 5 invited. Always. Timeout next. Back live here, getting some reaction from people on the Piedmont video of the team winning the game in high school and not shaking hands of the team they beat in Weaver. It's so disappointing. We still have a few minutes left. If you want to play for a chance to win tickets to see the Huntsville Havoc next week, got games on Thursday and on Friday. Got a pair of tickets I can give to you right now. All you got to do is call and play Postmaster, Prop Master General. Postmaster General is the thing I was making fun of, you know, with the post office and stuff. Got prop bets for Alabama and for Auburn, for example. If you wanted to call in and say, hey, I'd like to play Prop Master General about the Alabama game, here's your prop bets. 2.5, over or under 2.5, the number of times Nick Saban looks into the camera at halftime. That's important. Also, 7.5, over and under 7.5 number of drives for Jalen Hurts, and over or under 0.5 touchdowns for Chattanooga. That is your, which by the way, feels like a lot if I'm giving them 0.5. You'd have to say, do they get one or none as far as their touchdowns? So that is how you play that. Wrapping up the Heisman conversation, we were just having, you know, the defensive Heisman is always an interesting discussion. But if Ndamukong Suh's not going to win the Heisman, I don't know what it's going to take for a defensive player to win the Heisman. Now, if Jonathan Allen had more stats, like sexy stats, like if he had a couple more fumbles, especially sacks, maybe interceptions, then yeah, because he has the Heisman-type play. You know, remember Cam Newton's play was the get play against LSU. I mean, you're always looking for these highlight reel plays. That's kind of what it takes. You got to have big numbers from a position that doesn't normally win it.
You know, that was a good point, bringing up Ndamukong Suh and then thinking about Jonathan Allen. And while Jonathan Allen is an incredible player and he's had a good season, just go back and look at those individual years. Ndamukong Suh was a monster. And that was back when the Big 12 was pretty good. There was a lot more teams that were good than there are now. So if Ndamukong Suh couldn't get a mention or win the Heisman, then I don't think Jonathan Allen deserves it.
Ndamukong Suh had an interception, 12 sacks, 52 tackles from a defensive tackle spot. Man, that guy. I don't know. What's it going to take? What's it going to take? That's the year Mark Ingram won, by the way, so Alabama fans aren't that mad.
Fair enough.
that Ndamukong Suh didn't win in 2009. Also, real quick, I don't agree that you have to be on the best team to win the Heisman.
I don't either.
Or even a great team. I think Robert Griffin III won with 3 losses at Baylor. I think Tebow had 2 losses. Did he have 3?
I think he had 3.
You think he had 3?
I think.
You can lose multiple games and just have that spectacular year. That's when I look at someone like Patrick Mahomes, who has more passing yards than anybody, but they're 4-6. So it's kind of hard to get behind him. But if you look at Luke Falk, who could realistically lose one of these next 2 games, will still put up jaw-dropping numbers and still be in consideration. Man, that's what's weird. It's going to take Mike Leach. It's going to take a down year for Heisman contenders for Mike Leach to get a guy that can get invited to New York. And it really helped his case, since they especially play on the West Coast, if you get somebody over there who happens to be, I don't know, winning all the games and showing up at that point, because they've been on a tear lately, and they got two high-profile games the next 2 weeks, and possibly a third if they can get to the Pac-12 title game. Going to take a quick timeout when we come back. Give a chance for you to win those tickets. 866-485-9867. 866-485-WUMP. Coming up next, Sports Flood. Sports Flood. We've got a couple big high-profile matchups this weekend. One in particular involves our good friend of the show, Boomer Sooner himself. He is Antonio Macbeth on Twitter at TonyMacUMP. Antonio, welcome in, man.
What's up, Arky?
How are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
So this is for Big 12 supremacy, basically, at this point. Oklahoma needs to just keep on winning, just like West Virginia needs to just keep on winning. But Oklahoma seems to be the team that the College Football Playoff Committee likes more in this scenario as far as their chances to play in the College Football Playoff top four, if it got to that point. So let me just allow Mr. Boomer to Sooner himself onto the radio and tell me why Oklahoma is above West Virginia first and foremost.
Well, I think their balance helps them a lot. West Virginia's got a very stingy defense, especially in the Big 12. You look at when Oklahoma played Texas Tech and TCU. They were shootouts. Patrick Mahomes put up a record amount of yards against Oklahoma. West Virginia held them to, I think, 17 points. And then they did the same to TCU. I think they held TCU to 10. Those are Big 12 powerhouse offenses, and that's a very good defense. But what Oklahoma brings to the table is balance. I don't think West Virginia has seen a team this year as balanced as Oklahoma. They can run the football with two incredible running backs with Samaje Perine and Joe Mixon. And then they have Baker Mayfield, one of the most accurate quarterbacks in college football. And they have a really good target in DeeDee Westbrook and Mark Andrews, a tight end. So that offense is going to have a lot more firepower than I think West Virginia has seen all season.
Okay, well, the question is, why is Oklahoma ahead of West Virginia right now?
Oh, in the polls?
Yes.
Just because strength of schedule. I understand that Oklahoma lost to their two non-conference opponents that were really good, really highly ranked, but I think they're just honoring the fact that they went out and actually played somebody, whereas West Virginia didn't. They went to NRG Stadium in Houston to play Houston, and then they hosted Ohio State. So
West Virginia played Missouri. SEC. All right? What are you fighting here? What's more impressive? A possible 10-win Houston team who's 9 wins right now, or an SEC team?
I'm going to say Houston if we're talking Missouri.
Missouri only gives up 520 yards a game to SEC teams. That is it.
It's impressive. It's impressive. But I'm taking Houston any day of the week. But, yeah, I just think they're honoring Oklahoma's two non-conference losses. And it's really weird
It's one more loss than what West Virginia's got. And it's not even close in the polls.
You're right.
What does this make sense is all I'm asking.
It doesn't make sense. It's the playoff committee. The playoff committee is absolutely crazy. We know how inconsistent they are. But it really doesn't matter about where the polls are. If you want that as bulletin board material, then it matters. But, I mean, it's going to be settled tonight anyway. So if Oklahoma wins the game, then it really doesn't matter. If West Virginia wins the game, they're going to be ranked higher than Oklahoma, and it's just not going to matter anymore.
Then let me ask you now to break down this game. Okay, I know you did a little bit a moment ago, but now I want to actually talk about the game.
Okay.
Because Kirby Hokut said when he was asked why put Oklahoma ahead of West Virginia, he said Oklahoma has a tremendous offense. That's the first thing he said. It's the dumbest thing in the planet, but it's what he said. West Virginia defense, nothing to sneeze at right now. Baker Mayfield has had troubles against good defenses. Houston, Ohio State, maybe West Virginia. So how much better is this offense now than it was, say, Ohio State Week 3?
So much better. Starting with DeeDee Westbrook. DeeDee Westbrook was 60% in the Ohio State and Houston games with a hamstring injury. And their biggest target was a tight end, who's a very good tight end. His name's Mark Andrews, but, I mean, he's a tight end. He's not nearly as athletic and as fast as DeeDee Westbrook. So having DeeDee Westbrook back, obviously, looking at his stats since he's been back 100% healthy, makes all the difference in the world. And it adds that extra dimension to the passing game now that they can continue to run the ball with the threat of DeeDee Westbrook outside, so they kind of have to be honest with him as well.
DeeDee Westbrook, someone who's got 14 touchdowns on the season, definitely a threat. Can West Virginia limit him?
Sure they can. I'm interested to see if they can. Their secondary has limited very good passing offenses all year long, but it's just interesting to me because I mentioned the Texas Tech and the TCU games with Patrick Mahomes and Kenny Hill, but you know that's what you're getting. I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes is Texas Tech. It's very unfortunate for him that he has to do so much for that university. He's thrown for 4,000 yards, and they have four wins. It's very unfortunate that he's literally all they have, but that helped West Virginia's defense. Just key in on the passing game. Oklahoma's going to bring balance to this football game. They run the ball really well. They pass the ball really well. So I'm not taking anything away from West Virginia's secondary. I just want to see if they can play a full four quarters in shutdown fashion like they have all year against a team that's going to do more than just one thing all night long.
If you're going to look at this game objectively, and I'm trying to ask you to do this, what's the final score?
I'm going to say 41-31. I'm not sure if you're asking me to pick a winner, but I think
probably going to lean that way as well.
The winning score is 41-31, somewhere around there. I think it's about a 10-point game. You know, I've gone back and forth on picking a winner here. When I get to talk Oklahoma's strengths and talk about how good their offense is and how balanced they are, I love to say that Oklahoma's going to win this game, but then I turn around and look, the West Virginia has a stingy defense. Their offense isn't great, but they're about to go up against a secondary in Oklahoma that's not very good. They're getting better. They are getting a lot better before Seth Russell went out with an injury.
You say they're getting better. I mean, we're almost out of time.
Well, I understand that, but with a team that didn't really have playoff implications until everybody started losing, that's all you really wanted to see as a fan is just to get better. I didn't have any kind of hopes about going to the playoff. I just wanted to see this defense get more consistent and get better, which they have. I didn't think it really mattered against Iowa State and Kansas because they were really bad teams, but they went up against a good Baylor offense and Seth Russell, who the last time they played Seth Russell torched them to a crisp. So,
yeah, but Baylor's a shell right now.
Sure.
Baylor's a shell of a team. I mean, Baylor lost to Texas. I mean, Baylor sucks right now.
Hey, Oklahoma lost to Texas a year ago, and they went to the playoffs. So that one loss doesn't necessarily matter. But
sure, but Baylor's got two other losses.
Grand scheme of things, yeah, Baylor is kind of falling apart, and Oklahoma hurt Seth Russell, and it looked like they broke his ankle, but I don't think it was a break after they looked at it. But I want to say Oklahoma's going to win the football game, but you have to consider where it's being played, too. West Virginia's okay offense might perform a lot better. They're at home. This is in Morgantown. This is a very, very incredible atmosphere late in the evening. It's gonna be loud. Just about back when West Virginia was even in the Big East, people could not stand playing in West Virginia because of the fans. They're rude. They're awful. It's going to be cold.
They're mud pirates.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. So it's going to be really interesting to see. West Virginia's been in the Big 12 5 years now. This is their fifth year. The two games that Oklahoma played in Morgantown, 4 years ago they played, and Landry Jones won the game on a slant route on fourth and goal with a second left to win 50-49.
Yep.
Last year, West Virginia was about to take a 24-17 lead into halftime, and Alex Ross returned a kickoff to tie it up just under a minute to go in the half, and Oklahoma pulled away late in the second half. This is going to be a good grind-out game if Oklahoma's defense can step up to the intensity. All year long, Oklahoma's offense in their wins puts the pressure on the defenses early, where the Oklahoma's defense can turn around and make a few mistakes, and the offense kind of carries them and wins the game. The only game they didn't do that in was against TCU that they won. TCU jumped out to a 21-7 lead, and the defense played two shutout quarters in the second and third quarter. And Oklahoma built a 24-point lead after being down 14, and then, of course, TCU came back and almost won the game. I don't think that's the case tonight. I don't think the defense is going to have to play those shutout quarters, because I don't think in this atmosphere that Oklahoma offense is going to jump out to a hot start. Will they get hot? Sure, but it's going to take a minute to find yourself in this kind of atmosphere.
Take a quick time when we come back. Les Miles may have a job as soon as next week. Where? We'll let you know next. Back live here on the Sports Flood. One last segment to go. Les Miles may have a brand new job as early as next week. There are reports surfacing that there may be a new place for the head coach, former head coach of LSU, and it could be one of two interesting places, one of those being Purdue, which I would say, you're going to love this joke, it's a dad joke, I would say, per don't do that. And the other job...
Get out of here.
It's my show.
Stop.
Okay, so if you don't like that one, then maybe we go into the second possible job that could be his, be named for him next week, could be Baylor. Baylor could be ready to name somebody, and I would tell you this, if you're ready to name a guy like Les Miles, possibly next week, with a week left in the regular season, and then the conference championship week, I don't know if it's you know who your guy is. I think you just don't want to go through the looking of the potential players, because we thought at the beginning of this season there could be a ton of big-time openings, and it seems like some of those have closed up. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame seems to have closed up. USC seems to have closed up. Texas may have closed up with the way Dante Foreman and company have played as of late. Maybe, just maybe, we won't have nearly as many big jobs open as we thought we may have. It's an interesting thought if Les Miles has a job as early as next week.
Well, I would most likely say Baylor would be the better fit, just based on the fact that they're dealing with as far as next week goes, they're dealing with an interim coach who's starting to really fall apart with Baylor. Les Miles has coached in the Big 12 before at Oklahoma State, so he's familiar with the conference. It's a little different since the last time he coached there, but we're talking next week.
Yeah, it's been nearly 15 years.
If we're talking next week, I'd see Baylor being that fit.
If you're Les Miles, you say if you go to Purdue, Are you going to die? Like, are you going to just give up? I'd be surprised if he goes to Purdue. But then again, Les Miles, because Les Miles could have a big job. Would that be the only big job that would want him? With Baylor? Maybe Purdue? Well, obviously, LSU ain't going to call and ask him for an interview.
Well, if Tom Herman didn't blow Louisville out, Texas might be calling for Les Miles.
We'll see. We'll see if he gets named somewhere next week. That's it. Alabama football comes up at 3. You've been listening to The Sports Flood.